Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. I'm Bob Mendelson, and this is the Bob's Your Uncle podcast. Thanks for joining me for this Bob's Your Uncle podcast, Season 3, Episode 37. And today, we get to interview Shane Stubbs, a Sydney phys ed teacher, a coach, and someone deeply involved in the new science of physical health. What's that? Stay tuned. Note the music, Mendelssohn's Violin Concerto in E minor. You can now find us and comment to us wherever you get your podcasts. Tell us what matters to you, what triggers your joy, what bothers you in the world. Let us know. We'll see where the spirit leads us. You might be on the road in Kansas City or at the gym in Sydney, wherever you are. Thanks for being with us these 18 minutes. Of note, the opinions are strictly my own and those of my guests. Today's historical marker of the week features three 20th century events. In 1976, the first episode of The Muppet Show, co-created by Jim Henson, and the TV series became hugely popular, known for a cast of puppet characters including Kermit the Frog and Miss Piggy. In 1972, Palestinian terrorists attacked the Olympic Village in Munich, West Germany, during the Summer Olympic Games, taking hostages and eventually killing 11 members of the Israeli Olympic team. And in 1995, Hall of Famer Cal Ripken Jr. passed Lou Gehrig as Iron Man, long before Robert Downey Jr. In playing in his 2,131st consecutive game, he surpassed that record hundreds of times, finishing with 2,632 games before he removed himself in the final game of the 1998 season. And that's the historical marker of the week. I know that if you love me too, what a wonderful world this would be. Shane Stubbs, thanks for joining me today on the Bob's Your Uncle podcast. You are here as I am in Sydney, and it's that time of year when sport comes to the fore with our victories in the swimming championships in July in Japan and all the codes of football ending their seasons this month. And you and I had to adjust our schedule to allow you to coach your school's basketball game.
Correct.
How long have you been involved in coaching?
Particularly basketball coaching, one of my favorite sports, probably about 20 years now, about 20 years. So a long time, and I love it.
Always in basketball or other sports as well?
Yeah, look, mostly basketball, some Australian AFL, as in Australian Football League, Australian Rules Football League, some rugby league as well. I've coached some athletics, track and field, one of my other pet loves, and I've been involved in some coaching, but also participating when I was younger in the illustrious art of boxing. So I enjoyed boxing as a youth in the Queensbury Rules. So it was just, they're the kind of areas I've loved being involved in from a sport perspective.
Do you have medals? Do you have a whole room of trophies?
Yeah, I had some boxing trophies, and I eventually decided to give it away. One night, I sat down after my fight ringside to next to a guy who's probably the age I am now, and he literally couldn't put two words together because he'd been in the ring so long. And yeah, totally punch drunk. And I turned to my dad and I go, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not turning out like that in my lifetime. So I gave it away after that, but I still have a great passion for watching it.
Do you enjoy coaching kids, or would you prefer coaching adults?
Sport coaching for me, you know, tied into my professional career as a health and physical education teacher is I could coach both. I haven't done a lot of the coaching of the adults. I've done some coaching in the health side for adults, but not in the sports side. I realized by the time I was certainly in my 40s, and now I'm in my late 50s, that sport isn't health. Sport is great. I love competition. My son's a competitive swimmer. I love the skills that it teaches you as in your adult life. But most people by their mid-20s, they're done. Sport is a pastime and they're out of it. I'm mad keen about it, but I see there's a big disassociation between sport and health outcomes for people.
Yeah, you're involved in what you call the new science of physical health. What does that mouthful actually mean?
Yeah, I think that's a very insightful question because it's one that I haven't been asked on someone else's show before or by any of the guests on my show. There's a lot of current medical research from people from PhDs on a global basis. I deal with a lot. So on my show, I've interviewed and worked with more than 100 PhDs from disciplines like cardiology, exercise physiology, vascular medicine, public health, all of the molecular biology, an 86-year-old doctor from London who has got a degree in medicine and molecular biology, and a whole lot of other areas. So the new science of physical health is taking all of their current complex medical research and converting it into simple lessons to guarantee that people can decrease their clinical risk from what I call the big four: obesity, catastrophic cardiovascular events, diabetes, and this cluster of diseases called metabolic disease. We're going to reduce their risk of complications from those four using the lessons from these PhDs by a minimum of 30 to 54%. And we're going to prove that we're going to do that to them. So that their risk, and the outcome will be this: their risk of sickness, disease, and premature death by using the frameworks I've created, the teaching frameworks, will that their risk of sickness, disease, and premature death decreases and declines by 30 to 54% on a clinical basis, meaning we can prove it to their doctor, not just a general sweeping statement.
It's not an anecdote. There's science behind it.
Yeah, big science. So that's what it is.
Are there sports or games that do not contribute to physical health, anything that would in fact harm people instead of support personal growth?
Yeah, you know what? I find this question it's a very insightful question because so many people relate. Let's just take the average person in their 20s who might play recreational sport, or their 30s, 40s, or 50s. The physical activity does not matter in terms of contributing to driving down your risk of the big four. And a summary of the big four is sickness, disease, and premature death. What matters, you could be gardening. You could take the dog for a walk. You could go for a stroll in the forest. You could be a long distance cyclist. You could be like me who does short mini exercise classes from in front of my TV. Okay. The only thing that matters, whether it's pickleball, which is something I'm sure we're going to touch on, or whether it is a physical activity like long distance cycling, what causes the molecular, I'll say this so it's not a mouthful, What causes positive molecular and physiological health adaptations that will then drive down your risk of sickness, disease, and premature death? What causes that is your daily heart rate pattern. So one of the learning frameworks I go into, I convert this complex medical research into this simple lesson called the Health Impact Framework. And it teaches people how to look at their heart rate pattern in one glance on a daily basis and know whether or not the combined gardening, steps, walking, cycling, pickleball on that particular day, has it caused positive molecular and physiological health adaptations that will improve the structure of your blood vessel network, which is the biggest part of your body, the structure of your muscles, the structure of your lung function, and what we call cell integrity, meaning the organelles that are inside your cells, are they functioning sufficiently so that they'll drive down your risk of disease? Because that the big question is, why does disease come upon people as they age? Well, when you talk to the PhDs that I have, it actually doesn't come upon people. What does come on people is a lack of the correct dose of physical activity, and that can be anything, that's accumulated over a seven-day period. So it's in the seven-day window. The lack of the correct dose of physical activity causes negative molecular and physiological health adaptations that will drive up your risk of sickness, disease, and premature death.
Shane, you spoke with a cardiologist who was telling you the number one trick so people could get this prevention. How did that go? What did he recommend?
He says anything that makes you fall in love with it to make you keep coming back. And I laugh my head off because I go, oh, so that's it. If you love pickleball, play pickleball. If you love walking with your partner, go walking, but you need to find out what heart rate do you need to get your body into so that. I had a friend of mine who lives here in Sydney. He walked around his neighborhood for 1.5 hours. I said, tell me what your health impact score was, this conversion of your heart rate into a number that tells you whether or not you've developed positive molecular and physiological health adaptations. So after 1.5 hours of walking, he'd scored 1 health impact point.
You learned this from that Norwegian doctor. This whole idea of health impact scoring, it's a raw number, and it should be pretty straightforward. How do we calculate that?
And this formula that I teach people is validated on 700,000 people in the last 25 years. And the validation that says if you get enough health impact points, which we show people how you can get the software and get the health, like to track your health impact points. If you get enough health impact points, which simply converts your heart rate into this number, if you do that, it is impossible for Bob's body or Shane's body, impossible to not be at 30 to 54% decrease in risk of negative molecular health, physiological health adaptations. And so that's, I want people to choose, find something or do a combination of things. I mean, I'm a homebody. I don't like going to the gym. I don't like going out anymore. I love to do it all at home, but that doesn't suit everybody because I've played so much sport that I'm motivated enough as an adult to just go and do it.
We talked a little bit about pickleball and how to get that into the public school system here in Australia.
I completely understand I understand the hill to climb in that because I see how it works on a daily basis. And it's not the syllabus that's a problem because it can easily be fitted into it. It fits perfectly with parts of the syllabus already. But it's like, you know, the 22-year-old health and phys ed teacher that's coming into the school who's never played it before, why would they bring it in? And it's got great value, has great value in it because it's new. It's something that kids haven't played before.
And it's got great value in that health secret metabolic activity. You know, it's really, really heart rate up. And
it is 100% as a physical activity, whether it's adults or teenagers or young children, it will fulfill the requirements of the medical research from Professor Wisloff and his team of 55 researchers that helped create the algorithm. It fulfills those requirements. But I have a, you know, that I have a, one of my learning frameworks is called the Magic Formula. And it's a teaching framework that I created that teaches people how to fall in love with wanting to be physically healthy. I spent the last 20 years now perfecting a four-step framework that I have. This one of the driving questions in my work is, I have these two statements that sound almost identical. One is the biggest public health crisis of the 21st century, and one is the biggest public health problem of the 21st century. So the biggest public health crisis of the 21st century is the unbelievable rates of excess weight, obesity, catastrophic cardiovascular events, diabetes, and metabolic disease. They're out of control, and they're causing sickness, disease, and so many premature deaths. But, and that's like 30 years after my own father died at 46 years of age from a sudden heart attack, like just gone, no warning, no anything. So that's the crisis that exists, because all of those big four are exploding around the world in all the industrialized countries.
Shane has so much more to say. We're going to make this a two-parter. So come back next week and hear all kinds of data and good stuff from Shane. What do you think about all this? Write me on bobmendo@aol.com or comment or even video to me on Instagram or Twitter at BobsYourUnclePC. I'd love to know what you think about all this. Don't forget to post a review on iTunes or Spotify, wherever you're getting your podcasts. And also, don't forget to subscribe. Every week we read from the number one bestseller of all time, the Bible, and today's no different. From Psalm 20, verse 4, we read, "May God grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose." Make sure you join us again next week. Shane continues here in Sydney to tell us all kinds of great stuff about taking care of your body, taking care of your heart. And he's a real pleasure and a podcaster himself. Until then, from me, Bob Mendelsohn, when things seem bleak or uncertain, look up to God. He's in his heaven, and Bob's your uncle. Shalom from Sydney.